Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for the podcast version of Trey's Variety Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Okay, welcome to the show, everybody. This is going to be a very interesting and different kind of show. I've got a wonderful guest here. Her name is Alexia Sinclair. And normally, you might notice that we have many, many people in the Hangout. Tonight is just really kind of me and Alexia. We do this from time to time. Whenever I invite on a special guest, I really kind of want to figure out everything that goes on in their mind and not have too much distraction. So tonight will be a little bit different, and I can't wait for you to know this gal and get to know her work and get to know her as a person. So I'm going to have her introduce herself, because I hate it when people try to, you know, categorize me or boil the essence of me down into one short little pithy statement, no matter how clever it might be. So I want Alexia to say something. You don't have to be humble or anything, Alexia. Just let them have it. Tell the world how wonderful you are.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for this this hangout and for just having me on. I feel so privileged. I am a digital artist and photographer, and it's really kind of hard to describe what I do by just saying I'm a photographer, because I'm really an artist, and I make all of my costumes and my sets and every little component that I can get my hands on. And then the way that I bring it all together is that I capture it in photography. And then I often combine hundreds of layers in Photoshop. And the whole process is really just taking something that I build in my imagination and then deconstructing it and then finding all those components and bringing it all back together in Photoshop. And that's sort of what I do.
Good. That's better than I could have said. So thank you for saving. And where are you today?
I'm in Sydney, in my home, in my lounge room with my books and things.
All right,
and
cool. I'm very nice. Close to you. I am nearby here in New Zealand. I have a really pretty background, but I have to close it because it's so bright back there. I just look silhouetted like I'm in a iPod commercial. But I will show people out the window. They always like to see. It's not very pretty today. I'm sorry. Because it's all foggy. Normally, there's a giant mountain that juts out of that strip of land over there, but it's completely covered in this fog. And pretty much all flights have been canceled in and out of Queenstown today because of this intense fog. So we're all just kind of holed in here and waiting on the... what's it focusing? It's focusing on the dirty window. But anyway... There's not much to see, because either you're seeing in-focus fog or out-of-focus fog. Either way, it looks like fog.
Yeah, well, it was very, very sunny here in Sydney. It's been really rainy for the whole week, and so today is this beautiful day, so I decided to hang out inside.
Are you at the same latitude as me in Sydney?
I think you would be below us, James?
Yeah, we're below.
Yeah, we're below. Are we? We're similar. No, you are below. You are below.
So how much sunlight do you get in the winter? Because it's your winter also, of course.
Yeah, we get a lot of sunlight all of the time.
Ah, okay. You must be pretty far north.
Yeah, and the sun, in summertime, the sun drops at sort of 8:30 in the evening. And then in the dead heart of winter, it's probably 5:30 or something like that.
Yeah, ours is dipping about that time, about 5 p.m. It gets pretty dark and doesn't get bright till about, you know, 8:30 or 9 a.m. So we get about 6 hours.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, well.
Like living in London or something.
Well, one thing I've noticed, which I didn't really expect, is that the light, even in the middle of the day, the sun is so low that it's almost golden hour all day long. And so you get this really low angle of light that's a little bit yellow and a little bit orange.
Mm.
Kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, we don't have that. We have this intense sun burning through the top of our heads that you're always feeling and dealing with. And it's if you get a nice cloudy day, you have to run outside and take photos.
Yeah, I bet. Well, so I first came across your work many, many years ago. I don't remember how or why. I think you were featured on something like abdizito.com or one of these kind of design websites, and I was really, really struck by it. And I was trying to get my head around what you do and trying to like reverse engineer everything that I had seen. And then I went to your website and I discovered that, you know, you kind of share everything you do and your techniques and your process. And I thought that was, it's so rare that people do that. I was really interested in the whole process of it. So, you know, you kind of described what you do. Why don't you just go ahead and pop up one of your photos so people can see the end result of your imagination?
Sure. So I'm back to screen share.
Yeah.
So did that work?
Yes.
Right. So this was a campaign that I actually did for New Zealand Opera. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead and talk about this one while I have it
up. So New Zealand Opera approached me to produce two campaign images. So, I mean, I work as a fine art photographer primarily, and then every now and then some really cool campaign comes along that's commercial that I work on. But really what they're asking me to do is to produce the same sort of fine art work that I usually produce, but to do it in a commercial arena. So they asked me to do The Marriage of Figaro, which is the next image I'm going to show you, and Macbeth. And the director for New Zealand Opera was in Sydney, and we caught up and had a cup of coffee, and he said, Macbeth is about it's about murder, and it's quite gory. So I read it, and I chose these two characters, which is Lady Macbeth and the ghost of King Duncan. And from over the ocean, I worked with a design agency there, and I sort of storyboarded the whole thing and said, I wanted this really powerful, beautiful young model to be this young queen, and I wanted this frail old noble man to play the ghost of King Duncan. And so they sort of sourced people and locations and things as I came up with ideas. And they wanted one to be very filled with flocks and a lavish scene, and that's the next image. They wanted this one to feel quite contemporary. So this is what we came up with.
It's great. It's really interesting. How did you get her hair to fly up like that?
Well, a lot of the time I work in Photoshop and I montage pieces together. So it's a big composite hairdo. And I illustrate into them. But in this instance, I had this Australian hair artist flown over with me, and she constructs the hair on huge kind of wire sculptural construction she does. So basically she goes to Bunnings. I don't know if you have Bunnings. It's like a hardware store, super hardware store, and she buys all of this sort of metal wire and like plastic guttering that you put into the roof gutter to stop the leaves, and then she sort of wires it all to her head with lots of bobby pins, and then builds lots of pieces of extra hair onto that, and it's really this living sculpture. So she was sort of crying and on about 500 pain tablets for this, the weight of this thing, and then they carried the hair over attached to her. And we shot it in under 10 minutes, this scene. So just to get past the hair, and because it was a really emotional scene, they'd had this day to bond, and the model felt like King Duncan was this man who was called Tim, actually, was her grandpa, her grandfather. And she was, and he, you know, so they had this beautiful day together, and then he started whispering the moment the shoot began, "Why did you kill me? Why did you do this to me?" And she started crying, and he was crying, and I was crying, and it was, so we got it straight away.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So,
will I keep moving?
No, hold on just a second. Can you unscreen share for a second? Because I want to make a quick announcement about your app for people.
Okay.
Because this is how we started talking about having this hangout together. Can you see you're okay, Dave? I still see the image.
I still see the picture, too.
Yeah. Do you need me to do something to get rid of it?
Click screen share and then off.
Yeah, and then we'll see your...
Did that work?
The spectacled Aussie face.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So you have this new app.
Yes.
It's called Homage. And
yes.
I want you to talk about it in a minute, but I'll let everyone watching now on YouTube Live and Twit and on the Google Plus stream and Facebook and everywhere. If you go to my Google Plus stream, if you leave a comment, Alexia will pick three random people to get a free copy of her new app, which she will tell you about really shortly. And maybe I could put you on the spot here, Alexia, since a lot of people also watch it after the fact. They watch the recorded version. Can we give away three more copies to people who leave a comment on my blog?
Yeah, let's do it, for sure.
All right, cool. Okay, so anyway, we will show some of this app in particular later. It's a beautiful app, but go ahead and tell people about what is Homage.
Well, years ago, I did a Master of Fine Arts and I produced a series called The Regal 12, which is what I'm kind of known for. And it's 12 different women who have ruled the world at some time or ruled their region. They're all princesses and czarinas, and they're all of noble descent. And so they're all true historical characters, and I became quite fascinated in them, and I wanted to produce historical portraits in a contemporary fashion and beauty sense. So I did that, and then they were very popular, and so I followed them up with a series called The Royal Dozen, which is the kings. All along, people kept emailing me and saying, when's there going to be a book? When's there going to be a book? And bringing out a traditional book wasn't something that particularly interested me. So when apps started sort of taking over the world in the last couple of years, my partner James is a programmer, and we decided that we would work together to produce an app instead of a traditional book. So it's called Homage, and it holds all 24 artworks. And it also shows a lot of behind-the-scenes videos, the symbolism behind the work, because I am a traditional fine artist and I sort of write about what all of the meaning of the work is, and also the historical profiles of each character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. So tell me about... I'm interested in apps because, you know, making apps is really, really difficult, isn't it? Let's forget about the art for a second.
Yeah.
But talk about what it was like to make an app, because it's really something else, isn't it?
It is. Well, the thing is that we're really interested in making apps. So we decided we would commit our time to making this app and to use something that was beautiful, like the work that I'd already produced. And James, he already programmed in five different languages, and then he learnt that sort of language in uni, and he hadn't done it in years. So he just wanted to basically sink his teeth into relearning that language and to have something fun to work on together, because we like to work together a lot. We didn't know it would turn into 4 months of producing something. And while he was doing all of the agony of the programming side of things, I was doing all the little illustrations and the symbolism, and we sort of finished in the same week as each other. So, it was quite a journey, and it's really just the beginning of many things that are to come for us as far as apps are concerned.
Yeah, it's great. Hey, Abe, would you grab my iPad? I want to show people kind of what it looks like a little bit. Well, while he gets that to me, why don't you go ahead and share another image and tell us a story?
All right. So, oops.
I think it might be in the living room. Hopefully my kids have not absconded with my iPad. Okay, go ahead.
This was the next image that I was talking about, and I might just move past it. And it was The Marriage Figaro. That was from New Zealand Opera. And these are both shot on location. So we're not building the scene in Photoshop. We're building the scene as a set before we shoot, and then I enhance it in Photoshop. But, you know, I'm not, like, dropping in beds and things into that scene as I might in another image. I've just got these randomly plonked in here, so I can. Should I move on to the Regal 12 instead? Because it's in
relation to that. No, I mean, show us whatever. Anything you do is interesting to me, so I'd like to hear your thought process, so go for it.
Okay. This is another commercial image that I did for a fashion design school here in Sydney, and they're called White House. And they just got us to do a series of fashion images that were going to be on Windows and in Vogue and. You know, billboard kind of campaign stuff. And basically they wanted to, like any commercial campaign that I work on, they wanted to build up students for their school. So the vibe was that it had to look like Italian Vogue and that it had to be high fashion. So this is an image that I did for a local fashion designer called Hannah McNichol. And she was in love with Shakespeare and Lady Justice. So this image is was going into light boxes in windows in her flagship store.
Uh-huh.
So for instance, she was shot with the sword and holding the scales as well. And she had that tattoo that you can't quite see in this image painted onto her arm. I work with body paint artists a lot as well. Really like the idea of painting onto the skin, painting in Photoshop. The idea that that a photograph doesn't just need to be the pixels that you capture in an image, that it can be something that you just own and make into something else entirely. And I photographed all of the little moths and then dropped them in post. So. And that's clouds at her feet that I shot at night and dropped in as well.
Wow, that's great.
Now on to the Regal 12. So, Catherine the Great, do you want me to talk about how I shot them? What do you want to know?
Yeah, well, I know you have some behind-the-scenes videos that come with the app. And let's show us one of the end results, and then we'll share a video. And so people can... You could talk through it, show the photo. You could talk through it, and then we'll just kind of sit back while you watch one of your amazing time-lapse videos.
Okay, well, let me find one that you want to see. Maybe Lorenzo de Medici, this one?
Yeah, that's my. Well, they're all great, but that's one of my favorites.
That's your favorite? Okay.
He's dreamy.
This is one of the ones where I strayed away from something that's quite historically correct. Like the others are, I study the costuming and then I sew the costumes that are really respectful to that period. Where Lorenzo de Medici was quite an ugly man and he frumped around town in this red robe with a red hat. It was very uncool. And I decided he was the patron of the arts, an amazing patron in Florence, and he... commissioned artists like Botticelli and Michelangelo. And so I decided I would produce an artwork that was more of a Botticelli-esque type artwork. So it's a fantasy piece. So the fashion is not accurate to what Lorenzo would have got around in. So he gets his little tights and his little codpiece and everything instead. And he was a character that he went off hunting a lot in Tuscany. So this is a scene which is him at the end of a hunt. And he's got his, I don't know if I can zoom in and you can see. Oops, I've lost it now.
Yeah, we don't see the zoom in.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay.
No. Yes, we do see
the zoom in.
Oh, you do see it?
Sorry, it was just delayed.
Okay, so this is a fox after the end of the hunt that's wrapped around his shoulders. And I'm trying to re-zoom it out. Unlike most of the images in this series, I constructed this whole scene in the studio instead of comping him into it. So it was a matter of spending 3 days with my friend and going out and taking parklands apart and stealing things and putting them in the car and hooning off and then putting them in the bathtub and filling my whole house with all of these plants. And then constructing it all, which is what you get to see in the video. So I'll bring up the video now.
Yeah, let's see the video. What's the best way to show this, Dave? Is it her just to share her Vimeo screen?
Yeah, she. I don't know if audio is important, but she has headphones on, so we won't hear the audio or anything, but we'll see the video. It'll be jerky, you know.
Talk in the video, so maybe you can just...
Maybe you can reenact the talking part.
Yeah, I have to work out what I'm saying. Just give me 1 second. I go on to Vimeo to bring up Lorenzo?
It's the door.
Oh, is it? Where? Lorenzo. So how do I then share this?
Just unscreen share and then click it again and pick the other one.
Okay.
Window.
Toggle again.
So, what?
Okay. And then you want to pick
this one. Video. And then am I going to be able to play it?
Yeah.
Is that working?
Yes.
Do I need to make it larger?
Can if you like make it a little larger, or if you change the size of your window so that it's more 16:9, it'll get bigger naturally.
Yeah, that's working.
Is the audio working?
We don't.
It's working for it's working for you because you have your headphones on, but it's not gonna. We don't hear it.
It's okay. You can just talk through it when you press play.
I get to hear the talking and the music as well, though. okay, well, this is me doing the setup, putting everything in place, and then I'm in post here, adding bees because I couldn't get the bees to pivot exactly where I wanted in life.
And Dave, are you seeing it play?
No, it's not moving anymore.
Oh, it's not moving for you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. Hang on a sec. Let me get out of this then. Right. Well, I'm right smack bang in the middle. So if I bring it back to the beginning, if I slide it across, does it play for you? No, that's not going to happen.
We'll try pressing play again. Maybe this time it'll...
And then I get the music, so it's hard for me to hear you.
Well, you can mute the video if you would like.
Here, guys. Let me try it. Okay, just share my screen. I'll give it a run here. Okay.
All right.
Let me click on my thing here. Let me screen share over here, and I'll play the music loud. Okay, Dave.
Yes.
So you can see it in all its proper glory. Here we go, everyone. Hang on. It's gonna be awesome. You'll be shocked
at
everything this woman goes through.
What?
Sorry, it's buffering. We got a little New Zealand internet action.
I was going to say that darn New Zealand internet.
Yeah, let's go a little slow. Come on.
Aww.
Come on, Vimeo.
You can unscreen share yourself if you like, Alexia, if you'd like.
Oh, unscreen.
So I'm not the only face people have to look at in Brian's.
Okay.
There you go.
I have to get down with music now.
Many of the artists that inspire me today from the Renaissance period were commissioned by Lorenzo to paint his family into history books.
It's Buffer.
Oh. Back to the States.
So we'll make sure that we put a link to the Vimeo one so people can see it real time and watch how you did everything there.
Yeah, because I guess that was sort of broken up into individual little scenes, and it's nice to see the fluid version.
Yeah, there's some awesome time lapse in there. Have you ever thought about, you know, because Jeremy Cowart has done things like this where he does screen grabs and then speeds them up over time and puts them to music. It almost seems like that itself is its own piece of art.
Definitely. I mean, we've been working on doing videos where we have a second screen set up so that it's a bit like that Dove ad where it's not, the screen's not moving. You just see the evolution as the image is being built. And I think that's a nicer way to see it, because otherwise you're sort of jumping around trying to follow this image. And you never get time to just sit down and just completely edit something. So unless someone starts paying for the video content.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I notice now that when I do behind the scenes stuff, and I don't do nearly anything to the degree that you do, but there's a lot of like artistic thought that goes into how do you edit it together? What kind of music do you put into it? What kind of feeling do you want people to have as they watch the creation process? It's very interesting.
I think the music aspect, poor James spends days trying to find something that you can use for free and obviously credit somebody. But just to find music that, if we just went out and just chose the music that we'd like, then that would be fine and you had a Hollywood budget for your video. But the fact that you're working with people who are just sort of giving things away for free, that in itself is its own challenge with videos.
Yes, that's true. So I'm going to have Abe is my wonderful intern for the summer/winter. I'm going to have him come take my webcam and point it at my iPad here so people can see your app. Okay.
Cool.
Don't knock over my monitor there. Okay, so here's her app. Yeah, you can just kind of watch that screen there. Let me click on it so it always stays here. Okay, so it's a really beautiful app. It has the 12 women and then the 12 men. And if you ever want to see any kind of details or anything, you can just click. And how do we get that little thing to come up?
You got the zoom in the right-hand corner, top right-hand of the screen.
There it goes, yes.
Or you can double-click as well.
All right, so you can double-click and get different details everywhere. How big are these images in their original state?
Well, I've printed them at so many different sizes. The prints that I sell, like I sell 10 limited edition prints, and they're printed at 65 centimeters, which I think is 25 inches or so. But I've had them exhibited, a meter and a half in size. And I build them as large as I possibly can, and then I downsize from there.
So another thing you could do that's cool with this app is if you click on this little key down here, it shows behind the scenes, and she writes all about the symbolism. Sometimes there's videos, and I know photographers love all this stuff. There's all this lighting diagram that shows exactly where the lighting is and where the camera's set up. And do you do these sketches yourself?
Yeah. So I do all those sketches.
You're so artistic.
Thank you. I think the thing is that we get so many people requesting just how did you light this scene, and in a way we're trying to address the desire for knowledge that so many people have by putting it into an image. And, we've always been on Flickr and written exactly what we do for a shoot. It sort of just deals with the fact that people are trying to learn and they're just generally interested. And I think just sort of doing a really beautiful drawing of it also, rather than just some sort of 3D sort of look down at a scene, is an interesting way to approach it, and it's sort of in the style of my work. So that's why we did that.
Yeah. Is this coming out any faster, by the way? Does this look better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Oh, where's my sound?
and then embellishing it with all the layers of beautiful text all over it. And I love the fact that men were dressing in a far prettier way than women for that period, with all the powder puffed hair and the powder.
Cool. Anyway, I can't sell the app any better than that for you.
Thank you. I think one of the things also that's been really great about doing this collection of work is that in Australia, a lot of schools study the work now in art school. And so all these high school kids write to me and they want to do essays on the work, and they say, I've chosen you for my my essay this year. And then they sort of send through 50 personalized questions that you're supposed to answer. And nobody sort of just goes Google Alexia Sinclair. So I think packaging it all up into a $5 app was the way to go.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I get those questions from high schoolers all the time. I think this is something that teachers, when they go to teaching school, this is one of the things that they learn. Like, okay, teacher, be sure to give your students an assignment to contact someone on the internet that they think is interesting and ask them questions.
I saw, do you know Semi-Permanent? You would have been, it's a design conference down here, and I've done it in Auckland as well, presented there. And they, in Sydney, I saw Jessica Hitch, I think her name is. She does the, she's a typographer. And she did this thing that she put on Twitter where she said, okay, students, here's what you fucking do. www.jessicahitch.com, you know, have a look at my website, go on there and then Google me. It's amazing. I don't remember ever contacting anybody and saying, write my essay for me.
I know. Now it happens all the time. So here's an idea for you. This is something I did. It was a little snarky, but it worked. I picked one random student and decided to do a full-on interview. And what I did in the beginning of the interview is, now I send this to all students because I have a little prefatory statement where I say, all future students, I answer pretty much every possible question in this interview. You guys can go edit this and cut it up and edit yourself in asking me questions. Then it will look like you are actually interviewing me. It's perfectly fine. That would give the same answer to you anyway. This is really much more efficient.
I'll tell you what, my favorite question is, which I often get from, you know, when I'm doing articles, is they say, and how do you find the time to come up with your creative ideas? And it's like, well, I don't. I'm always answering your questions, you know. the biggest challenge of having any success in the arts is just devoting time to actually making art. That's how I experience it.
Yeah. How long does it take you to kind of get into sort of a zen piece where you can start to come up with ideas?
The thing is that the ideas just never stop. So you're always trying to take a break from the brain that's constantly coming up with these ideas, and I'm always scribbling them down in little books and hoping that I get the time to come back to them and bring it all together into a proper series. And that takes time. I think when I did the Regal 12, I had the luxury of being, I was studying and I was working, but I honestly, people just didn't email me about things. And so I have to actually say to the whole world, my family, my friends and everybody, I'm just not available for the next 3 or 4 weeks while I actually complete. I need deadlines, like exhibition deadlines, things like that, where I just say, like, I start to panic and then I just say to everybody, leave me alone. I have to produce these things. But it's really interesting because I think that being an artist that has any money coming in, which is what it takes to produce work, you are running a 9-to-5 business, and so you have to be answering emails all day and you have to be current and you have to be in articles. So you have to devote time to them. And if you don't, you're a fool because it's all free advertising, you know. So it's the balance. It's always that horrible balance.
Yeah. So I have a very incisive question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
So, like, do you ever have an idea? Like, oh, this is an interesting idea. And then you start executing on the idea. And then you're, you know, neck deep into the middle of it, and you're like, oh, this is just not going to work out. What goes through your mind at that point? And do you like try to go back to the original vision and go, oh, okay, right? It will work out great. I just have to keep slogging through. Or is everything just as effortless as your videos make them appear?
I shot Cleopatra with three different models at different times over two different years. So I think that if you don't, the thing with portraiture is if that model just doesn't turn it on for you, you're not going to get the image that you're after. And it doesn't matter how much you, like sometimes, I mean, I direct people and I really nurture them at a shoot and try to get the most out of them that I can. But sometimes people just can't give you the essence of something. And that's what a great portrait takes. So sometimes I just have to dump something and not, you know, and rethink it. And even this week I was building a prop and I got to the very end and it was 5 days working on this prop. And I looked at James and I said, I don't think this is going to work. And the thing is, I'll take it to the shoot and I'll have many, many different options at that shoot. And sometimes you might put a week into building something and you don't even think twice about using it at the shoot because it's just not going to work. So I just don't think you should, like I don't do a shoot and then think I'll just fix it in post. You know, I never go in and take, well, we call it polishing a turd. You know, I don't go in and say, I'll just keep working this till it works. I just decide to scrap it and reshoot. You have to be brutal.
Yeah. Well, do you have some more stuff to share with us, I hope? Let's pop up some more full screen images and talk through them.
All right.
I assume that the whole audience is just like me and they could just look at your stuff and hear you talk all day. I know you find it quite banal, but the rest of the world is always fascinated by the Aussie accent.
I don't even think I have a very thick Aussie accent, unfortunately, for you all. Well, maybe that means
you can understand. Well, when you're outside of Australia, all Aussie accents are of equal thickness.
Is that right? No, that's because you haven't left.
They all sound alike.
No. If you leave Sydney or Melbourne and then you go inland anywhere, it becomes very thick. And sometimes I have trouble understanding people too. It's pretty remote, you know. I'll go back to the beginning of the Regals. Will I just like sort of move through them? Do you want to know?
Yeah, please.
Will I talk about anything? Do you want to ask me questions?
Oh yeah. Well, let's see. Show us one of the male ones that you're the most happy with, other than Lorenzo.
Other than Lorenzo, awesome. Oh, this is Pope Alexander, and he was a wicked, wicked man. Can you see? You've got it.
Yeah. Yes.
Basically, all Renaissance debauched popes are named after this pope because the Borgia popes were the most wicked of all. I'm not a very religious person, but I find a lot of interesting stories that come out of religious content. So he was renowned for having an orgy at the Vatican, and his daughter was Lucretia Borgia, so the famous poisoner. So every time the family had somebody they wanted to get rid of, they would have these lunches and dinners, and she would have this little ring where she would have poison in it, and then she would pour it into their food. Or they had this famous Borgia goblet, and it had a little trap door in the bottom and they put poison in it. So my Pope is holding the poison chalice there, and it's got the little poisony fumes coming out of it. I don't know if you can see. They're a little bit green. That's to indicate that it's the evil stuff. And at this orgy, it was called the Ballet of the Chestnuts, and they basically had these courtesans come and all of their guests. And they scattered these chestnuts throughout the Vatican in this big room where they're having this banquet. And then the courtesans had to crawl all over the ground and the men had to crawl all over capturing them. And then it turned into this huge orgy. So anyway, I thought this was this fantastic story. So you see the chestnuts at the base on the table there. And and so sort of everything in this has a symbolic meaning. And there's women sort of flying off in the background. You have to buy the app and then you can see the detail. this is actually, pardon?
Do these cause a lot of controversy? I know whenever, like, I can even just put up an innocent image of a pretty part of a cathedral, and then, you know, and everyone comes out with some hot religious opinion.
I think maybe because Australia's not particularly interested in religion. There's a high proportion of atheists, and we're not, you know, even I think we let atheists, let religious people be religious, and religious people let atheists be religious. We're not very hung up on it. So I actually haven't copped a single comment about religion. I do get a little bit about nudity every now and then, because I also find the human body to be a beautiful thing, and I've never had a hang up about breasts being in my work or anything like that. Some people do. But people never actually email me directly and say, how dare you put breasts in your work, you know. Anyway, this character, he is Donald Belisario, the TV producer that you have in the States. And he has a place here in Sydney. And I went to a New Year's Eve party there because he's got the best view of Sydney Harbour. And I don't know if you know, but Sydney Harbour in New Year's Eve, it is the best fireworks in the world. There's five sets of fireworks throughout the whole area. And he came up and he had this amazing hooked nose. And the original character had this amazing hooked nose. And I said, you've got to be my Pope. And he loved it. He was just sitting there fondling his chestnuts. And that's that one.
So to speak, cool. Hey, will you go back to that one image? It's my favorite of the original Royal 12. It's
the women?
It's the profile image. It's the one that I had up on my iPad when we first got it.
Oh, who did you have up? Did you have Marie Antoinette?
No, that's bad of me. I should know exactly who these women are.
No, you shouldn't.
Her. Is it Marie Antoinette?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that supposed to be inside Versailles?
It's not Versailles. It's called the Palace of the Dukes. It's in Dijon in France. And I had won a traveling scholarship for my honors year. And so I packed up a Bronica and 120 rolls of medium format film. And I went off to Europe for 5 months and just traveled around shooting these amazing backdrops. And that's kind of where the Regal 12 was born, where I came back with these incredible scenes and thought, I don't want to shoot just landscapes, or not that there's just anything wrong with just doing a landscape or an architectural scene, but I wanted them to be very fine art based. So I used them as my sort of, I call them my backgrounds for these scenes. And so basically I was in Dijon. I went into this palace to see an exhibition, which was by a photographer who shot Paris from the perspective of sculptures. So he would get up behind this sculpture and there'd be a bit of a nose looking out into this park and then a bit of a, you know, hair, which I thought was a really interesting concept. And I was walking around this exhibition, and normally if you go into a palace, they take your camera and your tripod and everything off you. But because it was just an exhibition, I walked in with my camera. And then I saw this sort of shard of light off in the corner, and I went over to it, and this room was beyond that shard of light. And no one was in there because it was blocked off to the public, so I put my camera on the grounds and did a long exposure. And then the mirror in the camera went donk, and then the security came and grabbed me, and that was my one frame of that scene. And that's
awesome.
Yeah, that's the background. And what's kind of cool is that it has, you know, Marie Antoinette had her head chopped off. She was the revolutionaries took over, and all of the characters of the revolution are inside that painting that you see in there, which I really like. And I sort of moved them all around. I'll try to zoom in there. You have Napoleon here, and he was actually behind her in the painting, so I've popped him in there, and Liberty. So, you know, she was famous for having said, "Let them eat cake," which of course she didn't say, but it summarized everything that she felt about the general public and her ignorance. So she's sweeping across the sofa, having her lump of cake, and she was shot on that sofa in an antique centre in Sydney. And then I comped that into the scene. And all the pearls are all individually put on too, and then I illustrated the hairdo.
Ah, I see. Well, so actually I was surprised to find out you did that background with film. Do you have a lot of mixed film plus digital in your work?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to, but I shot on film until 2007. So I have a lot of I have 2,000 medium format back shots that I'm trying to scan at the moment, which just takes a lifetime, and it just seems kind of silly to be trying to shoot anything on film if I'm going to be a digital artist. It doesn't make a lot of sense, and they're also nowhere near as good quality as my Hasselblad shoots now. So it's really hard to I have to basically either degrade the level of digital layer to make it believable, or work so hard to make my film layer as sharp and beautiful as the digital one to bring them together. That makes sense?
Yes.
You're putting them side by side, the eye just picks up on the tiniest little thing and says, aha, this is not real. So it's really that sort of subtlety that you have to cover, and so I try not to work with film.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? You can on-screen share for a second. I want to ask you another probing question.
Okay. Probing question.
So, yes, I see you now. So, you know, you obviously made a huge transition from film to digital, but there's a lot of people that that very reluctantly move into digital, if at all, or they fight all the way, or they, you know, they might pay a little bit of heed to Photoshop or Lightroom, but they don't really get into it and embrace it. Why do you think it was so easy for you?
I had been, in the beginning stages of my career, I'd been building scenes that I would shoot on film, and working in the dark room to manipulate them. So lots of dodging and burning and lots of cutting up images and reshooting them and sanding the edges to make these seamless scenes. So I was always comfortable with manipulation. And I've always loved just, you know, purist photography as well, but I think that they're two different art forms and that they can inform each other, but they're not... neither should frighten each other. So, I mean, I moved into Photoshop. I was absolutely obsessed about getting to know Photoshop, and that was about the year 2000, the end of the 90s.
Right.
And I just wanted to completely embrace everything that there was about Photoshop, because it was an opportunity to build these amazing sets, but to actually have things like that background that I couldn't. I mean, obviously, I can't go to Dijon and take a model and set up this elaborate scene because I'm not a trillionaire, so, or Annie Leibovitz, you know. So really, for me, it was this amazing opportunity to create these fantasies that I was imagining. So that's never been something that frightened me. And I think when people talk about Photoshop being a false thing, or it's the devil's tool, It seems to be fear. I mean, I don't think that everybody should use Photoshop. It's not for everybody, but it's certainly appropriate to what I do. I don't know why. I have a lot of students, you know, I go and do these talks at schools and things, and my experience has been that when somebody is really anti-Photoshop, when I really get down to what they're afraid of, or what the problem is that they're, it's so overwhelming having to learn social media, Photoshop, digital cameras in themselves are a hard thing to manipulate. It's all learning, and that can be frightening. So I think it's a bit of fear.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's fear. I think a lot of times it's mixed with a little bit of brainwashing from teachers that really don't like any digital processing.
Yeah, the thing is, kids that are coming through school now, I think it's really sad that they don't have wet labs to go and print their own photos in. And I certainly, I would work until midnight in the uni lab printing my own photos, because there was this amazing pleasure to be had from that manipulative stage in the dark room. And the kids don't know that the tools in Photoshop are purely reflective of the tools that we all used with our hands beforehand. And so I feel very privileged that I've learnt the traditional aspect and now I embrace the digital aspect. So I kind of feel it's sort of sad, this gap between the two worlds, and they should unite.
I love the gap. I like the conflict. It defines me. what about, you must get all kinds of offers from different clients that want to hire you. What's your attitude? What will you do, some client work, and or do you turn some down? And, because I think you're probably in a very enviable position. A lot of photographers would like to be where you're at. So tell me a little bit about where you are there.
I would love to get even like way more opportunities to work commercially with different clients, bigger, more money driven ones. But to be honest, I do turn down a lot of things, because it's important that I do work that is, true to my style as an artist. But I think, I tend to only get asked to do things. Well, 90% of the time I'm asked to do things that are appropriate to what I do as an artist. And that I do see that is a great privilege. I can see that a lot of people would find that to be a great position to be in. But it doesn't always pay the bills, A lot of the time in the arts, for instance, I'm working with the ballet this year in Australia. And I don't think the arts tend to have a lot of money in the first place, but the images that I will produce out of that they have the potential of winning awards, and they define my portfolio as far as my commercial work is concerned. So I love to jump between the two. I love to work as a soloist and work on my fine art pieces alone, but I also really love working with teams of people who teach me amazing things and make me think in a different way.
So this one that I'm showing on my screen, was this for just an individual, or was it a commercial shoot?
That, you can't see the two screens that I can see, but that is actually a beauty shot that I did at the Marie Antoinette shoot. She is the Marie Antoinette model on the same sofa. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It came out great. Those pearls, are those in post, or are those?
No, they're stuck on. Yeah, that's super glue.
Oh.
When we build these scenes, a lot of those little details, I go and find the right size pearls and turn up and we work on them with the makeup artist.
It seems like you have a lot of clients asking you to do different things. Are there any clients that you would do you have like a dream client that you'd like to get? Maybe we can reach them through this podcast.
I guess working with some of the really amazing fashion labels like Alexander McQueen or something like that, where you're just given the opportunity to work with these incredible sculptural clothes. That's very cool. I would also very happily shoot for Coca-Cola because it's an opportunity. The budgets are there, and then you can produce something that's really quite incredible. Or Lavazza. Imagine doing a Lavazza calendar where they come along and they say, here's the money to produce these incredible sets. Like, what an opportunity. They haven't called me yet. Why haven't they called me?
Well, maybe they will soon. We'll do our best.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know much about, I don't do any client work at all. That's not my thing. Of course, there's not a thing wrong with it. I'm interested in it. Do you find that a lot of these big companies that do a lot of professional commercial photography, do you find that they don't branch out very often and go to independent creative artists like you, that they more go to their go-to people or their staff that have been around for 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, in Australia, it's usually your go-to guy. You know, there's a massive emphasis on men in the industry. I don't think most men in that position do carry their gear, so if it's an issue of like muscles, that's okay. Right. You can still hire me. I think if they're putting a lot of money into something and their necks are on the line with the job, they're going to instinctually go with somebody that they feel safe with. And I think that going with an artist, there's often this attitude that artists don't deliver on time. You know, we live with our heads in the clouds and we're a gamble. Often it's the gamble that really catapults you in your life and your career. So some people then say, stuff it, I'm going to take a chance. And ultimately with me, they always say, my God, you actually delivered before the deadline, or you're so reliable, or, you know. But I do see, you know, I look around at friends and think, how do you keep getting phone calls, you know? So I think for me it's been building up that belief that I'm completely reliable, that I'm very professional about how I work, and earning people's trust. And then, you know, I'm finally getting to a point where people just trust me because the portfolio speaks for itself, you know. Answering all those emails as they always keep coming in very quickly. And then hopefully I become the go-to guy for certain jobs.
Yeah, well, I think it's inevitable. I think pretty soon you're going to have more work than you know what to do with, and you can just start amping up your rates and saying no all the time.
That would be lovely.
All right, cool. When are you coming back to New Zealand?
Oh, I really should. Maybe we'll go snowboarding this year. Do you snowboard?
Yeah. Well, I know a good snowboarding place. It's about 10 minutes from me.
Oh, really? Well, we're pretty keen to come over. And also, I really want to shoot some deer. Not with a gun, obviously. I'm not for a fine arts series that I'm working on. So, you know, New Zealand is amazing to shoot in, and so we'll try to line something up. If you're going to stick around, are you going to stick around?
Yeah, I live here permanently now, so yes. Right. Yes.
Well, did you move there to shoot? Is that what?
Yes, primarily. You know, I love landscapes, and yeah. It's got so many beautiful landscapes here. It's almost like cheating. So, yeah, that's a big reason that I moved here with the family.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then Australia, are you coming over?
Yeah, it's very close. I have no excuse, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like $300 to get here or something. Very small.
Yeah, I can pop over there very cheap, and we can, I want to do some photo walks there, and there's so many places to see in Australia. I can't wait. I hear from a lot of nice people over there. I want to make that happen.
We're the nicest.
Yeah, you guys really are. Well,
this,
cool.
there are a few assholes here.
We don't deal with them, do we?
No.
There's a few of those in every country.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. I loved you know, seeing your stuff and finding out more about you. This app is awesome. I hope you make a lot more. I hope we can help sell some of these things for you. I'm really excited to see what's coming next. Do you have anything you can talk about? Any projects that you're working on that you can
I'm really secretive. I'm very secretive about what I'm doing.
Good.
Only because for a long time I really shared what I was working on, and there's this sort of expectation, and so I'm kind of being pretty. I mean, you know, I went to the States last year and I shot in Yosemite, and
yes.
You know, so got these magnificent landscapes, and I've got some that I've retouched and they're ready to go for the series that I want to shoot deer for.
right?
So that's kind of on the back burner, waiting for when I start getting the stock to put into the scene. And then I'm doing a series at the moment that I'm producing these props for that's really different to the historical series, because I get all these emails all day, every day from people saying, I think you should do a series of, you know, Aztec kings and you should do the Zulus and the and I'm like, yeah, I'm not actually just a historical photographer. So I'm doing something that's highly, highly contemporary and studio based. And I will share them with you soon.
Cool. Well, we can't wait to see. Do you have a Google Plus discovery you want to share with us?
I do. Here we go. So a lot of the people I really, really love, I couldn't find on Google Plus because not enough people are sharing their work there. So I've been hounding people to get on there. But in the meantime, I did find somebody that I thought was really interesting. I'll bring her up now. She's American. Select show window. Where is she? Can you see her?
Yes.
So I'll start. It's pretty small. It's a bit pixelated. Oh, you know her?
She was on last week.
Yes.
Oh, no.
She was our guest last week.
Because she's got like 200 people or something. So I thought I will really give her this. Let's grab her.
Well, we think alike. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Well, what sort of led me to her was this girl I know, Emma Hack, and she lives in Adelaide in Australia. And she, I'll click to another image. She did the Gautier. Do you know the Somebody That I Used to Know? You know that song? Yeah? Well, you know the film clip with he's painted and he's in the scene?
Yeah.
Well, she did all that painting, and she shoots people in these backgrounds where they're like the wallpaper. Anyway, she's very cool and she's a friend of mine. And she told me about this girl and I thought I'd made a discovery, but clearly I haven't.
Well, you'll have to watch last week's show because we asked many probing questions of her too, and she showed some of her latest work that she just did famous museum in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know of a project she's about to do. Secretly, that she might have talked about it. Did she talk about a project coming up?
No, she was tight-lipped as you are about your...
Yeah, well, I'm not going to... I don't know her, but I know her secret, but I won't tell it. So she's about to be catapulted anyway, so she'll have, you know, thousands of followers soon.
Good.
I'm going to get rid of her now because, you know, you've discovered her.
No, it's okay. We always do rediscoveries on here because sometimes people miss an episode or two. I don't expect people to watch all 41 episodes.
Right. Cool. Well.
Cool. Thank you. I'll share one here too. This is also sort of a rediscovery. This guy's wonderful. Screen share here. This guy's name is Peter Fromm. From, perhaps.
Oh, cool.
He does really cool work. He just released this one. I think it's really cool. He's very inspirational, the things he does. He has really good ideas. He's very conceptual. He does so much cool stuff.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love his stuff.
Are they all balloons, the whole series?
This might be one of his.
You're in the Air album, so that's
This is one of his special albums.
But,
yeah. You can go through almost any of his albums, and you'll see interesting ideas. Let's go pick a different one here. Let's go pick him.
Where's he from?
Somewhere in Europe, I think.
He's from Trinholm, wherever that is. I don't know.
No.
Yeah, let's see here. Let's open up all of his albums here. Can't go wrong, no matter which one I click on. Let's pick. go look at. Oh my gosh. See, like, even in sunrises and sunsets, he's got 209 photos.
He's in Sweden, by the way. Sweden is a country.
I mean, so I don't even have to zoom in on any of these. You can just tell they're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you got in touch with him?
It's great. Anyway, we're sort of internet acquaintances.
Yeah.
But he knows that I admire his work, and I mention it from time to time, and I go comment on a lot of his work. So
that's beautiful.
He's really cool. Very nice feel to his work.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Ridiculous. Yeah, amazing.
Ridiculous. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that about covers it. Is there anything else you want to plug or mention before you leave?
Do I show? Go to my website. There's plenty there, and then you can find my social media. You know, click on my little birdies and things, and come and find me there as well. And if you ask me something, I'll answer you through social media. And don't all send me heaps of emails asking me 20 questions. But nothing really. Just thank you so much for talking, and anyone who was listening, thank you for listening.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Brian, over at Twit. Thanks for stepping in for Tony. He's over in Japan right now with his girlfriend. Maybe that was a secret. But anyway, Tony's away. We don't know where he is.
His wife doesn't know.
Yeah. I think Tony will be back in a week or two for Twit. Anyway, thank you, Brian. And thank you, Dave, for helping me set this up. As soon as this show ends, we've got to get together our act for the next coming weeks, see who's coming up. I know we have one of the big wigs from Adobe and Lightroom joining us, and all kinds of fun stuff coming up with all sorts of people. Basically, if it's interesting to me, I hope it's interesting to you too. That's sort of the vainglorious, selfish nature of the show, and I thank everyone for watching and your support and questions and everything. And so I'm glad you guys got to know Alexia. Stay in touch with her, because she's always showing interesting things to the world and sharing her creativity, and I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Now Wait. Comes the yeah, what? Go.
Oh, that's what I was gonna ask you. Wait, we're giving away.
Ah, yes. Away? Well, you can just jump onto the various streams, and you can randomly award a winner.
Okay.
Right up.
Okay.
I'll leave cool. that up to you. Randomly choose.
Okay.
All right. Very awesome. Okay, well, thanks, everybody. Now comes the part of the show where we all just kind of wave goodbye from our little boxes. Okay, bye. Bye, Alexia.
Bye. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.